For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Supernatural Station podcast. This is a paranormal-themed journey, the train ride into the strange. I'm joined with my co-host, Jaron Daniels.
It's happening.
And our other special guest and co-host, Sean Lawrence.
What's going on, everybody?
All right, Jaron, what are we talking about on this one?
One of my favorite things that I find very intriguing is people of the blue-collar work. And one of the blue-collar work items I'm talking about is truck drivers. These guys have crazy stories, you guys. I'm in the rabbit hole right now. I've been deep diving. Deep dive's getting me. And I think the truck driver's stories here are going to be baffling to the beholder.
Yeah, and you know, and shout out to the truck drivers because they pretty much run our country in a lot of ways when it comes to the food supply. And, you know, the entire supply chain really relies on them. And they're working those long, long, long hours away from their families and stuff. And then on top of that, they run into these weird things that happen to them out there on the road. It's like, man, I can't imagine.
And I will say that I think most truck driving companies have policies that they can't drive impaired at all. Like, it's intense, you know? So I will say that I see these as more credible than a lot of things. Yeah, you get the occasional truck driver that, like, wears a dress when he's driving and stuff. It's a little bit wrong sometimes. There's some weirdos out there. But most of our truck drivers are good dudes that are just trying to make a living. Good females as well, good men and women.
Yeah.
But they have some strange stuff happen.
Yep.
And I'm shouting out like Ohio and Kentucky and all you weird states, man, that I still want to go visit because there's so many weird things that happen in those places. Or down Route 66 towards California and Nevada and stuff, there's some weird stuff out there too. You get down in these desert lands, yeah, I got some crazy stories.
Yeah, and you got to think too because these guys, you know, they're out on the road all the time. A lot of them probably drive the same route. So you know that they're probably going to know the roads. They're probably going to know the neighborhoods. And so when you have a story from a truck driver that, what am I trying to say?
They see something that's out of place.
Yeah,
it's like
it
really stands out for them probably because, you know, they're like, I know this road back, you know, back to back, like the back of my hand thing. And seeing something that's way out of place really.
For sure. And I don't think they're driving with their eyes closed, but I think they could do it if you gave them the opportunity.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
That's unless automation takes over by then.
Which, oh, no.
I don't think anybody wants that, but.
We were just watching an AI thing. It was too much, you guys. This AI deep dive is scary, too.
Well, also think about this. Imagine you start your day in Seattle and you end your day all the way down in Florida. Or, you know, you end your day,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you're driving, like, from totally different types of climates to another different type of climate. You know, and then there's these areas that have, like, really, you know, big. They're famous for UFOs or they're famous for, you know, cryptid sightings like dogmen, all this kind of stuff, right? And you may drive into one of those places and then also into the other, you know. And so it's like, man, I don't know. I can't even fathom it.
I got one for you guys. This is a good one. And I don't know if you guys saw a movie, The Fog. I don't know if it was even called The Fog.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I remember.
The Fog and The Mist. I don't know which one it was.
Yeah, there was two of those. Yeah, one of them had Tom Welling in it. I can't remember which one. But this one's called The Fog, and it's a true story of an actual driver that worked for Pride Transport. So this is literally from their website. So again, this is why it's even more credible, you guys. It's not like from like some random Reddit site, which we do look at sometimes too, but I think this is cool that it's like literally on their website. I was driving for Costco a few years back. It was around this time of year. We usually took extra toy shipments to various locations due to the holiday season. We got a call from one of our locations in rural Kentucky. What did I say about Kentucky?
Kentucky always shows up on these stories.
They needed to restock their shelves full of giant Spider-Man dolls. Shout out giant Spider-Man dolls.
One? Andrew Garfield?
I hope so.
Yeah.
They knew that I was a fast driver, so hey, I'm the transporter. You give me the last minute late night duties and I'll do it. I loaded my truck and headed out on the 265. It was around 3 a.m. when I started to have this eerie feeling. I chalked it up to just being tired and popped a couple of no-dos. About 15 minutes later, the road started to fog up. I mean, not more so than any other time before or since, but it got to the point where I had to pull off to the side and wait. There weren't any other cars on the road, and I was ahead of time, so I figured, I could wait until it cleared up a bit. About 5 minutes of sitting there, still in silence, my truck goes dead. No lights, no engine, nothing. I tried my CB, but couldn't get a hold of anyone. I checked my cell phone and there was no signal. As I'm sitting there contemplating my next move, I hear what sounds like a child crying. It slowly morphed into a woman crying.
Ew.
Or at least that's what it sounded like to me. Now, I'm a big man. I'm 6'3", 250 pounds. Again, this isn't me talking, this is the story, right? But I am around that same weight, y'all. It's tough. 250 pounds, but I refused to exit my cab. I did roll down my window and asked if anybody needed help. At that point, the crying just stopped. Then I heard what sounded like a sinister laugh. At this point, I felt like the laughter was directed to me. So I rolled up my window, and it seemed like the more scared I became, the louder the laugh went. Then as soon as it started, it stopped. And just like that, my truck started back up, and the fog dissipated. I drove out there like a bat out of hell. I get to the next truck stop to pull in. I run to the bathroom and pour water on my face and ask myself, did this really just happen?
It's like the wailing entities that try to lure you to something dangerous. Again, we always talk about that, but you know, it's like, again, like the fairies and the fae, I always bring that up, those Native American ones too, that they have that, you know, the screaming in the woods and the very similar stories, you know, and they say, they warn their children, like, don't go out there, you know, because it's going to lead you to harm type of stuff.
What I wonder about this story is, or just in general with this type of stuff, is like, why does it pinpoint one specific person in the middle of nowhere? And I think part of it is obviously to not be caught, whatever this might be. But I wonder if it's just like, it's out of energy. You know, there's nothing around. And so whatever this entity might be.
Well, I find it interesting that the whole truck died. So, I mean, as paranormal investigators at one point in our life, like, you know, you always hear about the spiritual realm sucking energy to manifest, right? So, I mean, this could go like, you know, from the ghostly realm to, like you said, like some kind of a siren trying to get him to get out of the truck. Like, what would have happened if he got out of the truck?
Right? Yeah, and I find it eerily similar to the classic Bigfoot and Rake stories and Wendigo stories, where they talk about, they'll be, you know, at a cabin next to the woods. I'm just saying they as in any general person or group of people.
Yeah.
Because I always ask who is they in somebody's story. But so there's this group of people at a cabin or something, right? And then there's the forest right there, and maybe a kid's playing with a ball, and then all of a sudden they hear some crying in the forest. It's always that.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's such a good tactic for something that's a predator to get somebody to, you know, lure themselves into a dangerous spot. And so I think that's being used. All right, guys. Well, I also have one, but this one I think I was stumbled upon. I thought it was pretty interesting, and it doesn't seem paranormal, but it seems really creepy. And I put myself in the place of the truck driver when I was reading it, so I was like, oof. So this one comes from, it's a Reddit one, GozyNYR. I was 23. My newly married husband and I decided driving team would be a fun adventure after college, rather than jumping into a 9-to-5. I was down in Arizona on a long stretch of nothing, about 4 a.m., when a guy pulled up next to me waving his CB. I never left mine on. Listening to those guys' BS was irritating. I turned on my CB and he told me I'd blown out my tire. I thanked him, figuring I would stop at the next truck stop. He kept harassing me to pull over and check my tire for a good 40 miles. I finally got to the next town and pilot truck stop, got out and checked my truck. No tires were blown anywhere. No clue what this guy would have done to me, but so glad I trusted my gut and didn't stop. You know what this is?
It's creepy. Joyride.
Candy cane.
Yep. Right. Right.
I was just playing with you.
Was it another truck in the CB radio that wanted him to pull over?
Yeah, so he That's was like creepy. Driving next to another
semi. Oh, he was driving next to
And
him?
The guy was like with the CB like, hey, you got a blown tire.
Yeah.
Right?
Just to get him to pull over. That's scary.
And he's then like, he's kind of like, okay, I'm going to, I'll do it. And then he's, but never pulled over
because he had a bad feeling. Driver. I wonder if he actually saw it or if it was just like a silhouette.
So here's another like little short one that I thought I'd just share because we're, still going here. But this one's crazy. So this one's from Biff McGee, also another Reddit. What? So the reason I'm sharing...
Biff
McGee's too far. So the reason I'm open to sharing these Reddit ones is because I myself have told true paranormal stories on Reddit before. And so I believe that there's a lot out there that is true. And then I think there's probably some forgeries too, just like anything. So anyway, I thought I'd just share this one, but this is such a short one. So I drove by a marsh every night when I was going from home to work. One night I saw a car pulled over with hazards on. Dude was covered head to toe in blood. No crash, no injury, just covered in blood.
That's scary. What happened? Why is he walking?
There's no crash, there's no busted up car.
He's just a walking
He's
bloody
just
guy.
Completely like cherry cell covered in blood.
I know you guys can't see this on the audio, but what if he just like...
It reminds me so much of Creepshow, like
hitchhikers. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for the ride, lady. Thanks for the ride. That's so scary.
He keeps getting more smushed.
No way. Because
she keeps hitting him.
Yeah, because she does.
Why is she so rude? She just keeps hitting this dude. He's just trying to get a ride.
Trying to show, like...
That show's scary.
Yeah. One more really quick one. Okay. It's kind of... So I want to do all three of these because they all kind of are similar in the way that, like, they may just be really freaked up people. You know, that are not paranormal in any way, shape, or form, but...
Careful. We let Roman do this third one, and we both of us go into a trance.
Yeah.
It's like Beetlejuice. Say it three times, it's over.
So this one's Toxic Waste 331. Saw a clown staggering down an alley in the city, back facing us. Hello.
Ew.
While we were coming to a stoplight at about 1 a.m., looked like he was still blowing balloons. Not seeing his face made it more ominous. I'm not sure if it was like a really creepy, sad, maybe he was on his way to abduct children, or maybe he was just a blind drunk guy after a long day.
But what is that? He's in a clown costume, like walking down the road.
It just makes me wonder, like, what are people doing with their spare time? Are these real people?
Blown
for
balloons.
One.
Yeah.
Number two, like, do you remember the clown fiasco?
Yeah.
When
they're breaking pumpkins.
I don't know when this.
Remember that one big one that like breaks the pumpkin on camera and just like scares at
That's
it.
Scary.
Yeah.
That was aggressive.
But that one probably would freak you out though if you saw that, like, just driving by an alleyway and just a random clown is just out there. No way.
Walking down the alley. Yeah.
All right, so here's one more. Actually, we probably have a couple more, but these are interesting because, like, it's like we mentioned, the truck drivers they should know these routes, and they probably get to see a lot more cryptid, creepy things than most people, especially when they're by themselves and whatnot. It actually, it's funny. Before I read the story, a lot of truck drivers they start listening to a lot of religious things, like a lot of sermons and churches and stuff, and it's like, I wonder how many of those truck drivers saw something that kind of either freaked them out or something they didn't understand. And so, like, they're like, I got to get right, all right.
Yeah.
I got to start thinking about this stuff, I can't even imagine, probably 10 hours on the road at night, you're just to your thoughts,
Probably all those crashes, too. I can't imagine seeing crashes because you see a lot more when you're a truck driver,
Yeah.
And bodies and just, I don't know, just creepy stuff, I'm sure. Yeah.
So this story is another Redditor, Hicks Son JD. And it starts out, friend of mine was driving an overnight through Arizona on a basically abandoned road, and his truck started having electrical issues, lights cutting on and off, no CB, etc. After about 5 minutes of that, a convoy of law enforcement / federal emergency vehicles passed him. In the middle of the emergency vehicles, there was a flatbed semi, so it's coming the opposite direction. There was a flatbed semi in the middle of the emergency vehicles with a massive saucer-shaped item chained to the bed and covered with tarps. About 5 minutes after passing the convoy, his radio and the truck electrics came back up. He still recounts it as the craziest thing he's ever experienced on the road. So apparently in the vicinity of whatever this thing that was being carried was enough to shut down. But why would it shut down his and not the others unless...
Right.
Unless maybe they prepared the vehicle.
Yeah, they probably have special VPN type stuff for those vehicles when they're doing that.
Yeah.
Or like a Faraday cage that blocks all the radiation type stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to. They probably know the tech, And I think,
I don't know, is that magnets that does that? Or is it just electro waves?
It's like magnetic waves. I think it's like sound waves or radiation of some sort.
But it would make sense. Maybe it's maybe it's like a protection thing.
Yeah.
That whoever agency is carrying this craft does it on purpose so that it helps mask what people might be seeing.
Right.
You know, and if it's like, you know, I imagine like, what was it on, like, Justice League, mm-hmm. you know, when he shuts down all the lights and then he shows up. I wonder if they have something similar like that.
Yeah.
Where they can actually, like, turn off lights so that you didn't see anything, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was, like, right in the Four Corners zone, you know, Arizona, like, definitely the big hot spot for UFOs, that area in Nevada, right? So, yeah, I think it was a UFO for sure.
I just think it's interesting that if they're coming from that area, then that means it's definitely from one of those bases, you know, the classic bases that you hear all the time, you know, the S4s, the Area 51s, probably something that's even more hidden, but, you know, it's still in the same vicinity. I think all those bases probably connect. There's probably some kind of interweaved connection. And then,
I wonder, like, in that situation, if it's, like, a recovered craft, and they just barely picked it up, and that's why they're moving it to, like, the secured location, or, like, why would they want to move it? You know, what's the point? Like, they should be able to just fly, you know, to the next location or something. I just think that's kind of weird that they risk going on the road where others might see it. But this was late at night, like early morning, late at night kind of thing. So maybe they're just, you know, I guess guessing and anticipating there's going to be nobody on the road.
I know it's a random thought, but there'll be times I'll be sitting out, you know, having a cigar or something, just relaxing on the balcony where I live. And I'm on the third floor, and there's, like, where I'm sitting, you can see all the stars and stuff. And I know this isn't, like, fully connected to what we're talking. It is. You'll see what I'm saying. But I feel like I'll be sitting out there, you guys, and, like, all of a sudden it'll be, like, a nice, super nice day. And then all of a sudden I'll hear, like, one of those really loud helicopters, and then it'll get cloudy, like, super cloudy. And then after it gets cloudy, it's like, there's, like, you can see, like, little lightning stuff here and there in the clouds. And it makes me wonder if they're, like, if they have some kind of weather tech and they're, like, moving UFOs secretly so people don't see them at night. Yeah. I mean, that'd be the best cover is to have.
There was a guy, it's going to kill me because I'm not going to be able to remember his name, but he was experimenting with trying to create rain in a time. He was living in a time in an area where they were experiencing, like, a rainless situation. It was like a drought type situation, and they couldn't grow crops and everything. And he figured out, I guess, some way to, like, make it rain, you know, and it was using some kind of technology or some kind of hidden knowledge or something that we didn't know about. And yeah, that's like, weird. Maybe they have something like that so they can conceal.
You know how they have this is a weird thought, but you know how they have ozone machines for, me and Roman are apartment managers, which is our day job, by the way. This is the thing we love. But I will say that, you know, when you're an apartment manager, you'll run into stuff where there'll be something super smelly in an apartment or something, right? Like the curry smells or whatever it might be. And you can't get it out. And so the only way you can do it is with this thing called an ozone machine.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll basically suck the entire air out of that room. And you can't go in there. If you do, I'll start, like, seizing up and coughing and stuff. And so I think they have something very similar to that, but it's opposite. It creates moisture. It pulls the moisture from wherever whatever's in the air.
It condenses it, right?
And condenses one area.
Right.
If I'm thinking scientifically, which I'm not very smart, but if there was something you could use like that, I would say something
that's
like that
thought.
Would be
a really good thing.
You know what, though? Yeah, I mean, that's a good tie-in to maybe part of the subject is weather manipulation and control. That's actually, you know, that's a hot topic. And you're not far off. You're not the first one.
Yeah.
Obviously, the movie that came out, you know, the Nope movie or whatever, tried to kind of assimilate this, you know, UFO thing with the clouds. But
I did see that, by the way.
Actually, you know, what's funny, though, is I actually remember there was a moment in my life when I was at the baseball game, and towards the east of the mountain range, I don't remember what they call the mountain range right there, but in Salt Lake in the baseball field, it was kind of downtown, and I was at the game because it was like a work-related thing. They just kind of, like, you know, have people come to the game, and I remember that there's even an article, we might be able to find it, but it's an article of the cloud that never moved, and it was a...
Oh, yeah.
It was a funky-looking cloud, and, I mean, science tries to pull it off by saying, you know, it's a wind tunnel current kind of thing, which, whatever, but...
But it didn't move.
It was all... The thing is this is what you don't want... Is all the other clouds around it moved.
Right.
So it's like, okay, so what are the odds that in this little pocket that this cloud that kind of resembled a cloud, but it was kind of like a cigar-shaped looking cloud?
Yeah.
But all the other, like, puffy, what do they call those, nimbus clouds around it were moving. Like, it was clearly moving.
I've seen pictures of that. I know there's pictures of it somewhere. And also, the Salt Lake Bee Stadium is the one you're talking about,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking east towards the Wasatch Front, the Rocky Mountains.
So if you guys wanted to look into this, it's like you could literally just type in like Salt Lake Bee Stadium. That's where, and you could see the mountain view from what he's talking about. It's really pretty, guys. We're really lucky to have those mountains around us. If you want to see it, that's also where like the Sandlot dudes, that made Sandlot, they'll go there like once every four, you know, 5 or so years and go see a game and stuff. So you'll probably find a ton of pictures of Bee Stadium. All right, I also have another one that I thought was really interesting. I like these ones like this because I think they happen more often than we think and they never get told. This one is also Reddit. It comes from HDORSETT Case. I don't know how you say that, but so it says, my grandfather told me this story about how he was driving west to east along an empty stretch of road in southern South Dakota. He stopped at a stop sign at an intersection with nothing in sight, no buildings and no other vehicles. Then there was a bright light that hit him. He looked up and saw a bunch of blinking lights. Next thing he knew, he was at the counter of a diner about an hour down the road. It was about 6 hours later, and he had no idea what had happened. He asked the person at the diner when he came in, and the guy told him he came in about 10 minutes ago, and he just started drinking coffee without talking much. My grandpa told him what had happened, and the guy said something like, yep, that happens around here sometimes. Nothing weird ever happened to him ever again. He avoided that area for the rest of his life. He said he doesn't believe in aliens and doesn't know what happened. He just told me never to tell this story to other people, but he died years ago, and most of the people who knew him are dead, so I figured it was okay.
What I think is kind of strange is why, it's just a random thought, but like why do people that get abducted, because me and Roman feel like we've had that occurrence as well, and it's, we have some good proof behind that, which is coming out in another podcast that we'll share you guys the link on soon, shout out, but I will say that the thing I think that's weird is like, why is it that humans are, maybe we don't know what this is, but I still don't know what it is, but why are we scared of reimagining what happened during those times? And I think, you know, how he's like, I avoided that area the rest of my life, you know? It's like, I'm kind of more curious, like, minded. Mm-hmm. I'd almost be like, we need to figure out what this is. Like, get closer to it and find a way to, if it's evil, destroy it or something, I don't know. But I think we have that animal fight or flight thing. Maybe that's what it is. Like, you know, but I feel bad for cows then. Like, cows are like, thinking that about us all the time, you know? Cause,
yeah, maybe there's, like, an underlying trauma that still, like, is there, even though he doesn't remember a single thing about, like, any memories.
Yeah. But
maybe there's still that trauma that when he goes to that area, it's all tied back to the, what he went through. And he doesn't even know what that is, right? But it's, like, his body's reacting, like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I heard another podcast where they were talking about an abduction thing that happened. It was actually on The Confessionals, which is a podcast we love to listen to. Shout out Tony Merkel. He does great work over there. But I will say that, like, on that podcast, I will say on that podcast, he's, like, acting like it's the most traumatic experience, and he feels bad that he allowed some siblings to be involved in it and stuff, being that he drove up to where the abduction occurred and stuff. But there was no trauma that really happened that he could really pinpoint. So it was, like, nothing really bad happened to him from what I could tell, you know?
Yeah.
But he's so scared of it. Like, it's the scariest thing that's ever happened to him. And so I just kind of wonder about that, I guess. That's just a random thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if it's, something's in, like, with abductions, you hear a lot of, fake memories, kind of, what do they call it?
Screen memories.
Screen memories, yeah.
Which is what happened to us.
I'm wondering if screen memories, and this is just me spitballing, is only half the picture. I wonder if they intentionally put some kind of a fear so that it's like a mechanism to prevent the spread of this whatever took place, right? Like they want to keep it hush. Going back there and saying, hey, you know, let's go investigate if anybody else in this area is having problems. I'm wondering if it's like an innate fear that they put into your brain to cause that so that it's just a controlling mechanism, you know?
They feed
off of the fear, the natural like self.
Well, and some think that they put you in a state of fear so they can get that adrenochrome and stuff, right? That stuff in your blood that gets them to feel more powerful and stuff.
And it's also like that old, you know, classic cartoon thing where it's like, remember when Peter Pan was like acting on Peter Pan, the Disney one?
Mm-hmm.
He was acting like he was like Captain Hook's voice.
Oh, yeah.
And he was doing that crazy voice like from afar. And I just pictured this as the same thing. That was a screen memory. Like he was making something not real to them, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you see that in cartoons too. It's like you see eyes and it looks all intimidating, but it's like shadowy and they can't see anything. They get up close and it's just a little mouse, like just trying to be intimidating,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So it scares off the bad guys. I think maybe aliens, if there is aliens, whatever. I believe in aliens, don't get me wrong, but I don't know what they are. But if they're small creatures, they're definitely a lot weaker than we are.
Yeah.
So maybe they're trying to find ways to keep us in line without physically fighting us, I would say.
Yeah, it's just, it's too bizarre, though. It's almost like, because you got to think, it wasn't just like he skipped time and ended up someplace. Like, people witnessed him walking in.
Autopilot.
On autopilot, or like something, exactly. And... When you told that, I just totally like pictured Men in Black, you know, like
the
well, not just that, but not the movie, but like the security camera footage of like these Men in Black dudes or creatures that are just like, they seem like they're being controlled in a way. Mm-hmm. The way they walk, the way they hold themselves, it's almost like they're like radio controlled in some weird way.
Yeah, for anybody who hasn't seen that, it's a pretty easy one to find. Just look up like Men in Black walk up to a counter or something like that. You'll definitely see that video.
It's the one where they're hustling that secretary.
Yeah.
They kind of walk up and
she pulls out a gun.
Yeah.
And he does like some weird thing with his hand.
Yeah, like a weird motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny too is, not really funny, but she actually has a follow up to that. The person that got abducted, like somehow, I don't know how she escaped, but she actually has a follow up interview about, you know, what took place after that.
Did she try to find
that? Pretty incredible.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, of course, anything in this day and age could be, you know, fake, but. I mean, come on, these people are like 7 feet tall.
Yeah.
That's another thing. It's
plus,
like,
they're hairless. Like, there's literally no hair on their faces,
white.
Or bodies, and looks a little bit unnatural, like they're wearing some silicone mask or something, you know?
They don't have, like, normal noses. It's
almost
like a reptilian nose. It's close to that.
So weird.
It's weird.
Yeah, look that up. I know what I'm looking up after this, for sure. I want to see that follow-up that you're talking about.
Very interesting, yeah.
Trucker one, you guys.
Oh, sweet.
I don't know. Like I said, I went on the rabbit hole. I'm lost in the sauce on this stuff, so I'm going to keep reading them, too, like, after this podcast, because it's insane. I actually kind of wanted to be a truck driver at one point. I thought it'd be kind of cool, so until I started thinking about, like, all the, like, cliffs and valleys you'd have to take on the snow.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I'm good. But this one's called The Shapeshifter. So many years ago, I was on a shift called The Meat Intern. This is where the driver that was domiciled out of the city will drive a load halfway to its destination, while the other driver that meets him halfway and brings the load where it is needed to be delivered. I had been doing this run for about several months, and I found out that I had to meet on point an hour before the other driver arrived. It was dark and empty. It was an empty lot around 3 in the morning. It's always around 3 or 4 in the morning, I swear. So since there was still just some time to kill, I decided to close my eyes and take a short nap. About 10 minutes into my nap, I was awakened by a barking dog. I tried to ignore it, but it carried on for about several minutes as it grew louder and closer. At this point, it became clear that he was trying to get to alert me of something that might be of danger, or he was trying to be a pain in the butt. So I sat up, I looked out my window, and what I saw left me motionless. Standing there, inches on the other side of the glass, was a man around 35 years of age. He was a large fellow, and he was just barking at me.
Whoa, oh my gosh.
His eyes were crazy, and he was even frothing a little from his mouth. The sheer creepiness struck me, and gently, without making any sudden movements, I reached down and started my truck and slowly started pulling away. As I was doing so, he was chasing after me, much like you would see an angry dog still barking as it kept trying to chase a car, pulling away. Needless to say, I don't take naps on the job anymore.
Oh my gosh.
And that was a credible one from Pride Transport again. So, I think, dude, that guy was on some serious bath salts.
Yeah.
Or,
right?
Or it was literally like, you know, there's stories about werewolves. Like, not just dogmen, but actual werewolves shifting, you know, shape-shifting.
Yeah, it could have been like a skinwalker, like, halfway changed, you know, like, going into that dog shape, you know? It's like, what the heck?
Yeah, either way, I know I stuttered through that, but that story was crazy, because I was stuttering, so I was scared, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was tough.
I got a thing against barking dogs. Anybody who knows me, like, knows that I can't, you know, I'm more of a cat person. I've had dogs and stuff, and they're, you know, if they're well-trained and well-behaved, that's fine, but for the most part, like, I just can't handle, and so I can't handle, like, dogs that just bark for hours and hours.
It's usually
there.
The small dogs, I'll call that out, but, yeah.
But yeah, just seeing, I just seeing, like, a dude, like, I don't know what's prompting. You know what the scary part is too is like if it was just like a practical joke, which doesn't make any sense.
Not at 3 in the morning. Yeah.
Well, one at 3 in the morning, but the other thing is a lot of truck drivers carry.
Right.
And so
that's what I was thinking.
You'd think if any sane person in their right mind would be like, "What if he pulls out a gun?" You know, if I'm just dicking around, kind of thing,
right.
You know, and it's like a lot of truck drivers have like shotguns and things, and so
yeah.
I don't know. This dude was like you said tripping, but I'm sure nonetheless it would probably be super terrifying to see.
And it obviously was real enough to sound like a real dog. Like that's
yeah.
what he thought it was at first, and then seeing this like psycho, I just picture like a bald like psycho guy with like a small double chin, not a big double chin, and he's got like he's got a couple extra necks with some warts or something
with the acoustics and the mark.
Yeah.
That's like a sharp thing.
Bow.
Come on.
Yeah, I just picture that in like googly eyes, like kind of looking like Mr. Bean, you know what I'm saying? And he's like frothing.
Yeah.
He's like, rah, rah. Okay, I was going to do a Hook reference. This is like a Peter Pan reference.
Yeah.
Remember? Hook, hook, because the dog's barking.
Truck drivers, we're going to move on, but man, shout
yeah.
out because I'm sure we'll probably come back around to
yeah.
There's some more of these stories. And my brother is a truck driver part time.
Okay.
I can ask him. He actually is one of the ones that wants to come on the show. He's got quite a few stories and things, so it's just been tough trying to get his time. But
yeah, we'll get him one of these days.
But yeah, shout out to the truck drivers. We appreciate you. If you have any stories, if you are a truck driver, have been, or know of somebody, and you've got something interesting to share, please email us.
Yeah.
Supernaturalstation5@gmail.com.
Yep, and where are we going to go from here? You guys want to talk about first responders? Is that what we're saying? I think, yeah, we transition.
I think
that.
So. I think planes, trains, and automobiles
yep.
kind of thing, but...
Perfect.
But first responders came to my mind this evening because, well, one, I have family who was one, you know, first responder. I saw a lot of crazy things, but first responders, if you think about it, they are the first ones that, you know, whether they're police or EMT or something, they deal with some of the stuff that you... most people can't handle, right?
Right.
Not even TV shows can put up, like, the reality of what some of these people go through. And so I just thought it'd be kind of interesting to kind of give a shout-out. There's first responder stories out there where they walk into homicides, suicides, and
right.
they see double entities, and someone's, like, blowing a scary air horn. There's a clown
oh
outside.
My God.
Like,
no way.
There's gotta be a clown.
That's
outside.
Legit right there.
No, I'm not looking out that window. There's no way.
It's scary.
Crazy story, guys, regarding EMT. He's had 20 years experience, by the way, and he was a
wow.
reputation of being a tough guy with a big heart, just trained other EMTs and stuff like that. So he's one of these guys you can definitely trust. This was back in 1981. He was an EMT for the New Hampshire area, actually volunteering with the fire department. And it was in New Hampshire, you know, there's a farming community right there. There was an old farmhouse that had three elderly. It was brother, sister, and a cousin that lived in this house. They were all elderly, like in their 80s or something. And, you know, sometimes they'd get calls because there was something going on, right? Being elderly, they had checkups and different things, different scares. And Mary was the sister, right? And she was probably the oldest of the three. She was called in because she got frail and had osteoporosis and was admitted to her nursing home. But John, her brother, and then the cousin were left at the farm. And one day, the cousin who lived nearby was unable to reach John by phone and became concerned. So he went to the farm and entered the house. He discovered that John was in an upstairs bedroom. He was unconscious, suffering from a stroke. He immediately called 911. Word of this trouble of the farm spread quickly, and soon sirens were blaring. There was people from other cities coming to help out, and it was kind of a big thing, and everybody sort of rallied together. But when he arrived, the gentleman that was 20 years experience and volunteering, he said he walked into the house and he was told to hurry as the CPR was underway. As he entered the front hall, on his left was a sitting room, and in the room he noticed an elderly woman sitting in a rocking chair smiling back at him. He thought how happy and peaceful she looked and was a bit odd that, given the fact of circumstances going on, that her brother was having a stroke upstairs, right? But then he recognized her. He's like, oh, that was Mary. I've seen her before. Then they get John to the ambulance, transport him to the hospital, where he was pronounced dead on arrival.
Oof.
As my boss was filling out his paperwork, the boss is the gentleman that saw what happened. He was filling out the report at the nurse's station. He made a comment to one of the staff and said how sad it was
that Mary was well enough to go home and that John had to die like that. The staff member gave him a look, a strange look, and asked him, what was he talking about? My boss said, how great Mary looked at the house. He was then informed that Mary passed away the day before at the nursing home and couldn't possibly have been at the farm.
Oh, wow.
So, like, other EMTs had already dealt with Mary?
So they all knew her because they've been getting calls from them quite a bit. She had osteoporosis, so...
And it sounds like it was somewhat of a small town.
Kind of
like
a frequent person,
yeah,
right, you know?
Yeah. So she was there. Just
sitting in that rocking chair, just, like, watching the whole situation unfold. She was probably there to help him transition or something.
Yeah. And it said he even described what she was wearing, including an oversized set of pearls and a pink flowered dress to the staff. The dress was Mary's favorite dress, and he had no doubt that the pleasant elderly woman who gave him a warm smile was indeed Mary.
Wow.
It says 2 days later, my boss and his then girlfriend decided to attend the wake for John and Mary, as Mary was the girlfriend's grade school teacher. As my boss walked into the funeral home, he gazed over to the coffin holding Mary and nearly fainted. For there was Mary wearing her favorite pink flower dress and the oversized pearl necklace, exactly the one she was wearing 2 days earlier at the farm.
I got chills from that.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, it's like he had to have, like, if he noticed the details, so it wasn't like a rush in and, like, see you at the corner of the eye kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you hear a lot about that. You know, it's pretty common. They see something and then they turn back and it's gone. But this was like he made eye contact.
Yeah, she recognized him. She, like, smiled and
yeah.
waved or something, you know?
So. But that's exactly what I'm talking about with these first responders, because, I'm sure a lot of them probably don't even want to tell the stories, because,
right.
you know, the credibility or whatever, right? They don't want to seem crazy, but I mean, if what's true, when people are on their verge of death, there's got to be something going on.
Yeah.
During that transition, right?
The thin veil, like, you have a chance to maybe do a goodbye real quick. Maybe that's what she was doing.
Yeah.
Maybe she was, because she knew John was dying, because he had a stroke, and that was her brother, right? And so maybe she showed up, she's like, I'm dead, but give me a chance, God, to, like, say goodbye to my brother. And maybe that's what happened, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they were going to go together, who knows, but...
Yeah, and if he wouldn't have said anything, like, oh, that was really cool seeing Mary there, you know?
Yeah.
They might not have even, like, the other person would have responded, and he would have never knew...
Yeah.
Anything was strange there at all. You know?
And notice it was 20 years. Like, you know, this guy's been retired, so I'm sure he only told the story after he'd been retired.
Right.
You know?
And that's what I'm saying. I think that there's a lot of stuff that goes on that they just, you know, they want to put a not very credible thing for, you know, whoever they're working for.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're that officer that sees ghosts, you know, or like, and then they have to go through like a psych evaluation in those situations sometimes, I think.
And I think it's just moreover, it's like, you know, would you want... I wouldn't care because we're believers, you know.
Yeah.
We know we think the world's stranger than it seems on the outside. But, like, other people, they don't want to hear this stuff, you know. Like, sometimes they're just maybe too scared to in their own world or something. So if they hear that there's somebody that has these kinds of mindsets, like, are they going to trust them to, like, save them, you know, and stuff?
Yeah.
Like, so maybe there's that, too. You know, oh, they're not sane enough to help me or something. But...
Yeah, I mean, there's a... I don't know who the author is, but there was a... One of this author that was actually focusing on... doctors that see paranormal, you know, situations happen, like, in your death moments, and or they'll talk to a patient that's about to die, and this patient's like, oh, there's my father coming to greet me and take me away, you know,
that's
that
so
kind
cool.
of stuff. And
those stories are cool.
Yeah, like, I mean, a doctor, I didn't see a lot of those stories, but those kind of stories are really powerful, too.
Yeah, and there's stories, too. I mean, that's a little bit more on the kind of creepier side of not just first responders, but morticians.
Ooh.
There's a lot that goes on in the mortician where they've, you know, people, like, bodies have moved. If we can find a story, it'd be awesome. But there was one where a security guard and a mortician, like, in a mortuary place, was, they kept seeing a corpse moving around. Like,
ooh,
I'm talking
gosh.
About, like, it was laying on this table or in this thing.
And they find it somewhere
else. They come
else.
Back, it's gone, and they find it somewhere else. It wasn't really moving around, but it was, like, it was moving and then laying down again. And then moving, and then, but they would only see it in different places of this thing.
Jeez,
so it's
that's
like,
the classic scary movie where, you're like, the dude, like, bends over, and then all of a sudden the body's, like, sitting up, and then he bends back over, and it's, like, laying down.
Yeah, but can you imagine, though? Like, if you're a mortician, like, I'm sure dead is dead is dead, and probably 99.9% of the times dead is dead, but there's always that one small fraction that you know this person is dead because you just autopsied him, but it takes a breath or
no
something,
way.
Right? And it's like, I know that that sounds kind of out there, and it might be, but there are accounts of morticians or mortuary places that are like, this person, you know, for some reason took a breath or it made a noise or, you know, something like a hand like fell off the table when it shouldn't have.
Another tangent.
Stuff like that.
Another tangent, but it reminds me of like, you know, in the old days where they used to bury people and they'd bury them with like a bell and a little rope because a lot of them would come back to life. Or like maybe they buried them alive like prematurely thinking that, hey, like they are dead, but it was really just like a little...
They were in a coma or something.
Yeah, just like somebody got knocked the F out or something.
Actually, I saw really quick, I saw a video really, really recently, so it's weird we're talking about this now, but Sean, what you were just saying, I've got to find it. If I can find this video, I'll share the link in our page under the YouTube page, but it's this, it's a security camera. You can tell it's night vision in a mortician room. The morticians are gone. There's just a body like sitting on a slab and there's like a kind of sheet over top of him and stuff. And all of a sudden you see him just like reach his hand up and like pull the like sheet off. And then he just like sits up for a second and like turns and just like sits there for a while. And then just like kind of slumps over and falls off the table.
That one's not good.
And, Dude, I don't know if that guy was, like, pronounced dead, but maybe wasn't, or if it, like, reanimated for some weird reason for just a second.
Like, maybe he came back to life for a moment.
Yeah, maybe his soul, like, tried to get back in the body or something, or a demon or something.
Oh, it creeped me out, man.
I'll try to find that
video.
Not to get on tangents.
Oh, my gosh.
But imagine, like, these are jobs that most of us don't, we won't even fathom.
Yeah.
I mean, I've heard stories of people that I know who have walked in on a domestic violence case or something tragic or, you know, somebody got stabbed.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact details of what happened, but basically walking in and you see the incident and then you also see like shadow figures around, like shadow entities moving around. So you put the two and two together and you gotta wonder if like a lot of these domestic, like scary, you know, try to murder somebody or even potential, like, tragic to say, but people who take their life, like, these responders are seeing kind of the other side. They're seeing either a some kind of entity that might be a factor in this, but...
Yeah, like evidence of
foul play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like something that's kind of egging on this person to stab their wife or whatever, you know?
Pretty scary stuff. There's stuff gets pretty deep, more so than people want to think about, but that's what the show is for.
Yeah,
the show is to bring out, and we discuss the things that people don't really want to talk about. And
wasn't there a story, Rome? Which again, we're like, we delve deep in these podcasts because we love it. Like this is it. You know, this is so much fun. But there was a story. I think it was on Wes Germer's show, Sasquatch Chronicles. But it was the one where there was that police officer that was, and he didn't tell his story till he was retired too. But how he pulled over, and then there was like a Bigfoot that like came to his car. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
it was on the passenger side, and then like it moved his truck or something like that. Yeah, I mean he wouldn't say that until later, but like that was a huge defining moment for him. He's literally by himself, and like around 2 or 3 in the morning again in a desert street, in this literally Bigfoot came and terrorized him. Like
I remember one that's a highway patrol guy, and you may remember this one too.
Similar,
and he pulls somebody over who was like swerving all around and stuff, and. I remember the story that the car was jam-packed with stuff. Like, somebody was moving. You know when you have, like, a little car and you don't have a truck and everything's piled in there?
Yeah.
You're driving cross-country or something to your new place. It was something like that, and that's what the cop was... And this, at the time, I remember the story was that the cop was new on the job, so he was, like, a new highway patrolman. So his training is really fresh, and so he knows exactly what to do and how to approach a car and all this kind of stuff. Which, by the way, I've seen people approaching cars, you know, officers, and... I can get in their heads and how scary that would feel to be coming up. Because you never know who you're dealing with inside the car and what they're capable of. But I just remember, so he starts getting this really, really scared feeling, like a fight or flight feeling as he's starting to approach this car.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy, like, is sitting in the car as he's turning the corner and the window's down. He did roll the window down. But the guy is just, like, 10 and 2 and looking straight. And as he starts turning and looking at him, he's trying to, hey, sir, do you understand why I pulled you over? Can you show me your ID, your license, your registration, all that stuff? And the guy's just not responding at all to him. And as he's turning and starting to get around the corner, he like sees this huge smile, like this giant unnatural grin on the guy's face, like this biggest grin and the blackest of black eyes. And he's like, it was the scariest moment in my life. Whatever that entity was made me feel gross and scared as all get out. And he's like, I literally, once I saw that huge grin and the guy not responding
to me, just got in the car.
I went back to my patrol car and I literally left. I didn't.
No way.
He,
He's like, I didn't do the proper thing. I didn't report it. I didn't put it in any database.
It's not worth your life on that one. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, but he said it smelled. I remember he said that the inside of the car smelled like rotting meat.
Ew.
And the thing had the whitest, palest skin.
So it was like something that was like it was like a corpse, but it was like something controlling the corpse or something, right?
Yeah, or like the grinning man. We were kind of talking about that off air for a little bit, something like that.
Probably just, yeah, I think personally that was like a manifestation like of demonic in this guy, you know, and waiting for somebody else to switch into or something, maybe.
Yeah.
And maybe that cop was a perfect
He's like, man, there's something fishy about this car. It's kind of a busted car, and like, maybe I'll find that, like, evidence of drugs, like, you know, all this stuff. But when he actually gets up there, just that immense, like, heart drop feeling of just fear.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm trained for the stuff I've done. He was a new cop, but he'd done other stuff, you know, and seen other scary situations. But he's like that. And then, by the way, when he was telling the story, it was, like, after he was retiring. And so he had been on the job for years and years and years, and this is one that stuck with him. So whatever that thing was probably something that he shouldn't have been messing with, you know.
Stories out there, first responders, morticians, police officers, highway patrolmen, truckers. I'm sure there's pilots are probably another one.
We didn't
I'm
mention
sure that
pilots.
There's pilots, Bermuda Triangle, there's all kinds of.
We didn't
of
mention our conductors as
no,
well.
No, conductors.
And
yeah,
conductors
train,
who
yep.
see dead bodies and stuff all the time that are tragic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did want to read another one in just a moment, but before I get to that, there's this is a little bit more common in today's society, and maybe I'm crazy, and it's fine, but just hear me out on this, because it's a theory that I've had for 2 years.
It's welcome to the crazy around here, so we're good.
Yeah, it gets kind of knee-deep, and it might upset some people, but in today, we live in the COVID, post-COVID era that I believe is going to go down in history. It's going to change, everything's changed the course of the world, not only for the visible, but I think for also some of these supernatural things going on. This leads into a theory that I haven't heard, if somebody else has heard this, I apologize, but this came directly out of my own head during the time of COVID when people started wearing masks and stuff and all that stuff was going on. And for some reason in my head, I started thinking and tying this together with like reptilians, right? So we've talked about reptilians on the show before. And I guess for some reason in my head, I started thinking about, okay, what could be a supernatural reason for this? And not only from the time of COVID, but even right now, like the masks are kind of done away with, right? Like the facts are the facts. It doesn't stop the transmission of COVID. It
right.
never did. It
right.
might help saliva, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is why are people still wearing them? I saw one today at Taco Bell. He had a hat just like that, totally covered, and he had a mask that only showed his eyes.
Oh,
the entire thing was like completely covered with a mask, and I started thinking about this, not just today, but a couple years ago, that if there are reptilians, which I believe there are another hybrid race or something that may be underground, this would be a perfect opportunity for them to be able to basically come out into more society, and I think that they have a different structure of their mouth. I think that they have...
It's the big open mouth
with
less lip.
I think I've got a different kind of mouth structure going on where that would be a perfect way to get these creatures out in society and totally,
I think that's one of the reasons they call them reptilians is because if you look at, like, an iguana's mouth or you look at, like, a snake mouth, it just has this weird kind of, like, weird grinish thing going on to it. And it's this very long, weird-looking mouth, you know? And I don't mean to...
No,
to take you over,
good.
But no, you're onto something.
And it's weird because when I was at the liquor store today as well, dude with my hat again, same kind of hat, and a mask with long hair, white hair.
Yeah, it's like they want to cover absolutely.
And he was
everything.
Like looking around, kind of like.
So like, I mean, I just started thinking. I'm like, you know, if there is some kind of a hybrid or kind of a mutant race or reptilian that, you know, if they were out in public and this could tie into people who've seen like those kinds of mouths on people, right?
Yeah.
It would be the perfect time for basically just saying, well, just wear a mask and you can basically come out in society and do whatever.
Actually, we had one of our earlier podcasts, I think it was episode 5 maybe, We were talking about aliens trying to conceal themselves as humans. You know, yeah. I think it was one where I might have been by myself on that one. But yeah, there was some stories like that. You know, people wearing these obviously fake wigs and sunglasses, the mm-hmm. thickest sunglasses you can imagine. You know, and now, like you're saying, if you had a mask on too, like and literally just seeing little tiny bits of skin.
Yeah.
You know, and your ears are kind of covered because you got like this weird wig that's kind of covering the ears.
This ties in, but my coworker I used to work with, her name was Lindsay. She told me a story about her and her brothers, just real quick. They're in Arizona, and there was this really creepy girl that was like she'd always wear gardener stuff. Like she'd wear a gardener outfit, like, you know, with the weird gloves and like the stuff on her elbows and like an apron type thing and like full shirt, like almost like long sleeve. You know, it's hot outside. And then she'd wear like a gardener hat and like kind of hide her face, like sunglasses, but it was before the mask era.
Yeah.
And she would just walk around the neighborhood sometimes. And they said they would just get so weirded out by her because she walked like a cartoon, like it wasn't like a normal walk.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was like very like it was like very like this.
Yeah.
And so when she walked around,
we're laughing, but if you see that in real life, I'd be scared.
It was like she was walking like this. And so one time her brothers were driving with a friend of theirs, and they were driving to the neighborhood. They saw her and they just said, "That's an alien." One of the friends said, "That's
scary.
An alien." And right when they said that out loud, but the windows were up, so
sure,
she shouldn't have heard it.
Right.
And she was like two streets down. And they're like, "That's that alien lady," I think is what they said. When they said that, it just stopped and it looked at them. And so I'm like, dude, maybe that was a real reptilian lady, like a real alien. It's just like, so creepy story.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was just a thought in my head that took place and it has never left.
Great theory.
Call me crazy. I'm fine with being called whatever you want to call me, but it's just, there's just something not right. Either somebody's got something to hide or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah,
I just can't make sense of it other than, hey, this would be a good opportunity for, you know, like a reptilian with a weird looking mouth to be able to basically come out more and never have to worry about.
Well, I'd venture to say
that
people still wearing that is still kind of a little crazy in my mind, you know? So, hey, there's different kinds of crazy out there.
All right, guys, I think that's going to be the end of it. I appreciate the stories. These were some fun stories. Thanks for being here with me, guys. To the listeners, really appreciate your guys' listenership. Thanks for sticking it out. We hope you enjoyed some of these interesting and weird and crazy stories. If you have some suggestions for stuff that we can cover next time, write them into us. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube, obviously, at the comments down below. SupernaturalStation5@gmail.com. And yeah, we just hope you enjoyed it. We hope that you're here. You're probably, you know, interested in some of these same topics. And so that's why we're here.
And we got some cool live interview stuff coming up that I actually haven't even told my brother about. So like I said, we're on another podcast. We'll share it on our links on Instagram. So if you guys follow us on Instagram, that's where we can share that link for the other podcast that we're on. So it was a cool, humbling experience. Really fun to be a part of it. So
yeah, thank you so much. Tune in next time. Appreciate you. And I
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.